Now, good morning, good morning. It is Friday, the 26th of April, 2024. I'm Richie Allen. This is the newspaper podcast, or the papers. I tell you what, it is bright, it is blue, it is lovely here in Salford this morning. But it's brass monkeys. It's freezing out there. You don't expect towards the end of April to be needing the old gloves for your hands, for your fingers. I didn't have any. I realised that I was in the old park. My fingers were turning white. The dogs didn't care, though. They had fun. But yeah, it's pretty cold this morning. I hope you're in good form. And as I say every Friday, I hope you're looking forward to the weekend and you've got something interesting planned. And interesting now in the life of this 49-year-old gamin is just getting out for a walk locally with the dogs. Now, the front pages of the newspapers in the UK. The Guardian. Yousaf in peril as Greens say they will back no confidence motion. Now, if you follow politics closely, you will know that the Scottish National Party was in coalition with the Green Party in Scotland. And yesterday it was announced by the SNP and by the Greens that that arrangement had been terminated and that the SNP would carry on as a minority government. Now, a number of newspapers are running with this story this morning and a follow-up suggesting that Humza Yousaf, that his job, that his position as the leader of the SNP and therefore Scotland's first minister, that his position is very tenuous today. The Scottish Greens have said they will back a no-confidence motion against Yousaf now. And that's the last you'll hear from me on that particular story this morning, you'll be glad to hear. The Daily Telegraph. Rwanda threat is pouring migrants into Ireland. Now, that's getting a lot of play in the Irish media today. The Daily Telegraph reporting on the fact that migrants are leaving the UK at the speed of light after the Rwanda bill passed and was given royal assent. This is the harebrained scheme, the British government scheme, to take asylum seekers, undocumented, who they call illegal migrants coming to the UK, to put them on a plane and to send them to Rwanda. And that facing this threat, many migrants are getting out of the UK and heading for Ireland. And that's obviously a big problem for Ireland, because Ireland has its own problems with undocumented migrants and illegal immigration. So that story in the Telegraph getting a lot of play, as I said, in the Irish media today also. The Eye. This is an interesting one. World's first jab to stop skin cancer brings hope for patients. Now, I will come back to this. No doubt I'll come back to it. An mRNA jab, a personalised vaccine, which will use genetic code or the genetic code of tumours to tackle the disease in patients once patients have been diagnosed. Researchers calling it a game changer. I'm not so sure, but you must take anything I say about medicine or science with a large grain or degree of salt, a large pinch even, pinch is the word. Pinch of salt, because I have no qualifications, but I'm suspicious because the COVID mRNA shots have caused widespread damage and death, haven't they? Now, the Daily Express leads with the very same story. Revolutionary jab offers hope of cancer cure. We'll leave that. Harvey Weinstein is pictured on the front pages of some papers today. You remember the Miramax guy, the big Hollywood mogul, the big producer, Harvey Weinstein? Remember, he was convicted of a number of sex crimes, of assault, sexual assault and rape. Well, his conviction has been overturned in New York. Now, it doesn't mean he'll walk free, because he was convicted of similar crimes in California. And he hasn't had those convictions in California overturned. But it is certainly the first step to freedom for Weinstein. And a number of people, actresses, including Ashley Judd, very talented actress, she's spoken out about this and has expressed her dismay. So Weinstein, the old producer, his convictions were overturned in New York. And that's why he features, why his photograph appears on some front pages this morning. Now, the Daily Mail, thieves hit shops 1,000 times a day. So the Daily Mail lead story is about shoplifting in England and Wales on the rise, reaching highest levels in years. More than 430,000 shoplifting offences were recorded last year. So the Mail is saying that retailers are accusing the police of letting thieves off the hook and that violence against shop workers is doubling. Now, funnily enough, I was, as you know, I go out very early on the walk, and I was listening to the BBC Wake Up to Money programme, and there was a young man who works for a convenience store in Newcastle. We've become very Americanized in our language, haven't we? Convenience store. Before too long, I'll be saying 7-Eleven. Can't have that. But in a shop in Newcastle, the Wake Up to Money programme had an interview with a young man who told a very believable story about being attacked several times, having confronted shoplifters. Not a nice place to be, I wouldn't imagine, working in convenience shops these days. He seemed to believe, the young man from Newcastle, that a lot of it is something which has gone on for years and years and years. People who are addicted to various substances, stealing things that can be sold in order to have a few bob to pay their dealer. That's what he said anyway. Okay, the Metro, Weinstein sensation headline, we just talked about it. The Me Too, it says hashtag Me Too rape conviction overturned. He was convicted back in 2020. A New York appeals court said prosecutors in the case called witnesses whose accusations were not part of the charges against him. So there you are. He will remain in prison because he was separately convicted in Los Angeles, which I've already said to you. The Daily Mirror, photograph of Jill Dando. The Daily Mirror is all over a man who the paper believes is responsible for the death of the journalist Jill Dando. But the headline on the front page of the Mirror is Save Our Cup Replays. Now, the Mirror has launched a campaign to save football cup competition replays, FA Cup particularly, which provide vital cash to hard up lower league clubs. So the Football Association announced that in the future there will not be any replays in FA Cup matches. So to explain it to non-football people, the FA Cup is a knockout competition, and it takes place obviously once a year. Pretty much every club in the country can participate in it. You know, it's a big, big competition. It's the oldest cup competition in the world. And traditionally, when you are drawn against a team and you play the team, if the game is drawn, there is a replay. Okay, so you get to replay the game. So if Liverpool played Manchester United at Old Trafford, Manchester, and it was a draw, they would play again the following week at Anfield in Liverpool. And then it would finish, there would be penalties or whatever. So the FA Cup, the Football Association has scrapped replays. And this, of course, is problematic for lower league clubs, because the replays, when they are drawn against the much bigger teams, the replays can be very lucrative for them in terms of ticket sales and in terms of TV money. So the Mirror has launched a campaign. It says it has been joined, the paper, by politicians and fans to persuade the Football Association to reverse its decision and to bring back replays, which, as I said, are very lucrative. I remember years ago, back I think in 2004 or 2005, I can't remember which, we had just moved to Manchester, my French missus and myself. And United were drawn at home against Exeter City in the third round of the FA Cup. The third round is where the big, big teams enter from the Premier League. And I went along to see it, and United were an absolute disgrace. And the game finished 0-0. Exeter were either non-league or they were League Two. I think they were non-league. It was an absolute embarrassment, a shambles for United. But as we were leaving the ground, this was in January now, I remember coming across a couple of people from Exeter, and it turned out they worked for the club. And you see, the fact they had achieved a 0-0 draw meant that Man United then the following week had to go down to Exeter for the replay. And I came across a couple of people, and they were crying, actually crying, with joy and with relief and with happiness. And I was there with my Man United scarf, and I said, Jesus, it's a massive big deal, this, isn't it? And a chap said to me, it is. He said, I work for the club. He said, it's going to bring in probably £1 million for us. It's probably going to cover our overheads for the next 2 to 3 years. So marvellous. So the Mirror is saying, don't scrap the replays. The Sun leads with another football story. Giggs to be dad again at 50. This is Ryan Giggs, who was a Man United legend. The former Wales boss as well, Giggsy, is currently dating or seeing a woman who's, her name is Zara. Zara Charles is her name. She's 36. He's 50. When did you first... No, I'm not going to get into that old gag. Anyway, they're about to have a baby. The Financial Times leads with a story about investment in South African companies. We'll leave that. Daily Star leads with a silly story about turnips. Turnips. So we'll leave that too. Let's go inside the papers. Now, I came across this story last evening. Just before I climbed the stairs to bed, I read it on the Times website, and I can tell you that it is in the Times newspaper, the paper edition today. Listen, exposed, the illegal school teaching children conspiracy theories. What is going on? Now, this is a story written by three journalists writing for the Times. One of them went undercover in a school in Stockport, an illegal school, they say, where children are taught conspiracy theories. Can I read you some of this? Let me read you. It's in the Times. You'll have to subscribe, or you'll have to go and buy the paper to read the story. In a community centre in Stockport, a group of children stand holding hands in a circle with their eyes tightly shut. On the floor in front of them is a collection of crystal pyramids. It might get a bit warm, says their teacher, a self-styled shaman called Phil, who tells his students that the rocks can transmit energy into their bodies. If you've got any injuries, they might soon go away. These might start healing you, he says. It is 2:30 p.m. on a Tuesday in January. These children should be in school. Unfortunately, however, they are in school. For nearly a month, writes the journalist, writes the Times reporter, for nearly a month I worked undercover as a teacher at Universal Kids, a suspected illegal school in Greater Manchester, alongside colleagues who believed that the dinosaurs never existed and viruses are not real, that aircraft vapours in the sky cause dementia, and crystals could cure serious illness. And, most concerning of all, that the government was in league with organisations such as the World Economic Forum and wealthy businessmen are covertly attempting to depopulate and enslave the world, a conspiracy known as the Great Reset Theory. So the Times reporter says that most concerning of all, children were being told in this suspected illegal school that the government was in league with the World Economic Forum and corporations to depopulate and enslave the world. Now the reporter goes on, if schools like Eton and Winchester were established to educate the future administrators of state, Universal Kids was set up with the very opposite purpose. It is a training ground for the resistance movement, where children are instructed in foraging, self-defence and natural remedies to survive and defy this supposed plot against humanity. They won't have to be woken up because they've never been asleep, one teacher called Red put it to me, writes the reporter. They'll know how to find their own medicine, find their own food when the shit hits the fan, because they are going to force a famine on us. Look at what they've been doing with farming. They are going to force a famine on us and we will be eating each other. The children aged between 8 and 14 are not taught the national curriculum. Instead, they are taught a bespoke course that pays scant regard to facts and peddles misinformation and quackery. I saw them being taught that their bodies were made up of energy that ebbed and flowed according to whether or not they were telling the truth. In a history lesson, I saw the children being told by their teacher, Justine, that they would one day be eating cockroaches if Klaus Schwab, head of the WEF, and Gates, Bill, have their way. That's why we've had I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here for X amount of years to get us all into it, isn't it? So it doesn't look as mad when they, the WEF and Bill Gates, say, right, it's time you all start eating cockroaches. The reporter for the Times went on to write, they, the kids, were also taught about Anne Frank's diaries by Justine, who questioned their veracity, repeating in a conversation with another teacher a common anti-Semitic conspiracy. Now, the reporter goes on to say that these classes, Universal Kids, were held in a tumble-down Victorian mansion, which had until recently been a nightclub. In the hallway, leaflets were left lying around that stated that COVID-19 vaccines, climate science and 5G were all means by which the government is trying to subjugate the population. The leaflets concluded, resist, defy, do not comply. The reporter writes, Universal Kids goes to great lengths to conceal its activities. On its website, it describes itself as a provider of holistic alternative education that seeks to raise autonomous and sovereign young people. To education officials who might come asking questions, it presents as a support for homeschooling parents. But to insiders, those members of the awake community for whom it serves, it is a school operating independently from any government bodies. Now, the reporter goes on to claim the school was set up more than 3 years ago by a woman called Leighton Ratcliffe, who's 60, a former teacher. She worked as a teacher in Greater Manchester for more than 20 years. And when the undercover reporter was interviewed for this role, Ratcliffe, who goes by the name Leighton Universal, told the reporter that the purpose of the school was to de-indoctrinate pupils from all the lies they are taught by the system. Aside from GCSE maths, which some of the older children were studying, the school doesn't in any way engage with the national curriculum. So that is a splash, a big story in the Times today by a reporter who went undercover. And interestingly enough, the reporter found the ad for the position at this school in the Light newspaper, which I'm sure some listeners to the Richie Allen Show will read. That is, if it is posted through their letterbox. So this is really, really interesting. What do I think of all of this? Well, I obviously, if you've been listening to the Richie Allen Show for 10 years, if you listen to my radio shows in Spain in the years before that, if you watched me on television in London, you'll know that broadly I have a lot of sympathy with the beliefs of Leighton Ratcliffe, the woman who set up this school. A lot of sympathy with the beliefs around energy healing, around depopulation agendas, of course, around climate scams and COVID pandemic scams, which I believe are used to engineer, to indoctrinate people, to change their behaviours. Of course, I have great sympathy with what's going on, with the beliefs and the ideas of the woman who set up the school, this Universal Kids in Stockport. Eight-year-old, I don't know, it's a strange one. I don't have any children of my own, so I find it difficult to speak about this. If we had children of our own, we wouldn't send them into a primary school. We would home educate. And I suppose at some stage, you'd feel, wouldn't you, that you'd like to introduce your children to some of these ideas. Like, you know, you'd have to discuss your own feelings about the world and about where humanity is heading with your children. But at what stage would you do this? And how would you do it? How would you do it in a way that wouldn't scare the child, that wouldn't instill fear or paranoia inside the child? That's the question, I suppose. And I have no idea how these classes are presented to these children in Stockport. I can only go by what the Times reporter has written. And of course, I'd be very suspicious about the motivation of the Times newspaper and its reporter here. So I don't know. I'd have to be present in one of these classes to sit there at the back and to listen to how the teachers present these ideas, ideas which I have great sympathy with. How are they presenting them to the children in a way that is not in any way harming the children? And I know you're going to scream at me now and say, how could the truth be harmful, Richie? I suppose I go back to age appropriate, you know. I would want to explain to my child, our child, if we had them, children if we had them, what I really believe is going on in the world. But how would I go about doing that? And that's all I would add to it. So it's a real hit piece in the Times on this school in Stockport, suggesting that it's illegal and that it's harmful to the children, and suggesting heavily the Times that this school needs to be investigated urgently. I suppose I could reach out, if I can find her, to the woman who set up the school, who's got 20 years experience working in education. That's Laidan Ratcliffe. So that story is very interesting. It's in the Times today. The headline, Exposed, the Illegal School Teaching Children Conspiracy Series. It's a hit piece, is what it is. And as I said, I would find a lot of common ground with the founder of the school in terms of her beliefs. How do you communicate this stuff to children? I think that's certainly worth debating. I'll reach out to the school and we'll see if we can get a chat going on the other show. Okay. Telegraph. Couples having children could become culturally unusual, warns Tory MP. So this is Miriam Cates, right? Miriam Cates, I think, I don't know. This is very conspiratorial for me on a Friday morning. But Miriam Cates is a very presentable looking woman. She's a very intelligent and a very articulate woman. And I wonder, is she being positioned, Cates, as some future leader of the Tories when there is a massive collapse of the party at the forthcoming general election? I don't know. She says all the right things, does Miriam Cates, but that leads me to be very suspicious of politicians when they start saying all the right things. But in any case, she says, Cates, she's a leading member of the new Conservative group of backbenchers, that the UK's declining birth rate was the elephant in the room when it came to discussing Britain's economic performance. She said, did Cates, that increasing immigration would not solve the problem because other countries would increasingly want to keep hold of their young people. So this is really about declining birth rates, not just in the UK, but around the world in general, right? So Cates made these comments in a discussion with demography researchers at the Alliance for Responsible Citizenship, which is a global think tank. And I'm very suspicious of think tanks. But anyway, she said, did Cates, my fear is that unless we reverse this decline rapidly, it will become so culturally unusual to have a child that people will just stop doing it altogether. We've got to start talking about solutions, otherwise we are going to be no better off in 2030. Politics is caught between the right, who want lower taxes, and the left, who want more spending. The truth is, we can't have lower taxes or more spending if we don't have a workforce, she said. It's nothing to do with politics or ideology. These are the facts, said Cates. Now, she's the MP for Penistone and Stockbridge. She's warning that global birth rates are on the decline and that immigration alone cannot fix this problem. She says, although the mass migration model is frightening in the sense of what would be the democratic outcomes, it's actually probably unlikely because we just won't be able to find these immigrants from anywhere because nobody will have spare population, and she means spare young population. The economic stagnation model is the most likely if we don't change the fertility rate, and this is extremely frightening, she says. And the Telegraph goes on to say that Britain's fertility rate is now almost half the level it was 60 years ago. That is mind-blowing, isn't it, dear listener? In 2022, the total fertility rate was just 1.49 children per woman, 1.49 kids per woman, down from 1.59 before the pandemic in 2019 and 1.94 in 2010. The post-war high for fertility rate was 1964. It was 2.93 children per woman. So this is a really interesting statistic, and I promise you I'm going to get into this on the Richie Allen Show as soon as possible. Declining birth rates, what it means for countries, what it means for the economy. And there are a number of reasons, of course. You know, environmental reasons, let's say, why women are not having as many children. We are in a smog, aren't we, of EMF and other things. Interesting talking about at school in Stockport, talking about chemtrails. There's a lot of reasons why women are not having children. And yes, I know young girls, I believe, will be increasingly pressured to consider not having children by their peers, not necessarily by teachers and by authority figures, but as they push this climate madness, this propaganda on children, on youngsters, they will be increasingly inclined to think that having children is bad for the planet. Anyway, we'll leave that one and we'll go inside The Guardian. Right, so a number of papers running with this. Real hope for cancer cure as personal mRNA vaccine for melanoma trial. Doctors have begun trialling in hundreds of patients the world's first personalised mRNA cancer vaccine for melanoma. Experts have hailed its game-changing potential to permanently cure cancer. Melanoma affects about 130,000 people a year globally, it says. That's nothing, is it? In a population of 6.5 billion, approaching 7 billion. I don't get this. I did a double take on this and I tried to figure out whether they meant 132,000 people in the UK. But 132,000 people a year globally is nothing. Anyway, and according to The Guardian, it's the biggest skin cancer killer. Currently, surgery is the main treatment, although radiotherapy, medicines and chemotherapy are sometimes used. Now experts are testing new jabs, custom-built for each patient, to tell their body to hunt down cancer cells to prevent the disease from ever coming back. So they're in a phase 2 trial, or they've had a phase 2 trial, and it's claimed the vaccines dramatically reduced the risk of the cancer returning in melanoma patients. A final phase 3 trial has been launched. It's led by University College London. Heather Shaw, the National Coordinating Investigator for the trial, said the jabs had the potential to cure people with melanoma, wait for it, and the jabs are being tested in other cancers like lung cancer, bladder and kidney cancers. It's one of the most exciting things we've seen in a really long time, said Shaw. It's a really finely honed tool. To be able to sit there and say to your patients that you're offering them something that's effectively like the fat duck at Bray versus McDonald's. It's that level of cordon bleu that's coming to them. Jesus Christ. What does that even mean? And then she said the patients are really excited about them. So, The Guardian says, the vaccine is an individualised neoantigen therapy. Neoantigen therapy. Designed to trigger the immune system. This all sounds very fucking familiar, doesn't it? Think COVID jabs. Trigger the immune system so it can fight back against the patient's specific type of cancer and tumour. No, thank you. And God forbid I get a cancer diagnosis, God forbid, heaven forbid, or the future Mrs. Allen. I would tell them to stick these mRNA jabs up their arses, to be honest. They go on to say that the vaccine targets tumour neoantigens expressed by tumours in a particular patient. These are markers on the tumour that can potentially be recognised by the immune system. So they're hailing this as an amazing breakthrough. You know, and that the cure for cancer is nigh. And that in the very near future, people diagnosed with all types of cancers will be offered a specifically tailored mRNA jab. I'm going to leave this story just by saying, look at the damage caused by the COVID mRNA jabs. No, thank you very much. Okay. I've spent an awful lot of time on three stories, haven't I? The Mirror runs with two stories. One of them is about shoplifting. We talked about this earlier on. It featured on the front page. Shoplifting cases rise nearly 40% in a year. And the Mirror claims that organised criminals are being left off the hook. The same paper, almost 3,000 criminals wearing alcohol tags to stop them from drinking over May bank holiday. So 3,000 criminals will have to wear alcohol tags. These are interesting. These are, they call them tags, but it's a patch that the convicted criminal can't remove from their leg, right? It's a tag of sorts, but it's not removable. Or if you do remove it, it will send an alert to the probation service and somebody will come and arrest you. And it takes a sample of your sweat every 30 minutes and it knows if you've been drinking. These sobriety tags, some people who have been convicted of criminal offences that were linked to alcohol abuse are told to wear these tags, and 3,000 people will be wearing them over the Maybank holiday weekend. God love them. They won't be able to imbibe because their sweat will basically give them away. They'll be hauled back into court or even back into jail. How interesting. I'm going to finish with this from the Telegraph. I find this very interesting because I've always been fascinated by the story of RMS Titanic. Yes. In fact, it's not. We've just had the anniversary, haven't we, very recently, of the sinking of the Titanic, which allegedly hit an iceberg with, an enormous loss of life. But here's an interesting one. Watch recovered from body of richest man on the Titanic to go on sale. A gold watch, dearest listener, worn by the business tycoon John Jacob Astor when he was on the Titanic. He was last seen when he stepped on board the ship back in 1912, and he was last seen smoking on the bridge as the ship sank. He went down very stoically. He was 47. He put his wife Madeline, who was pregnant, into a lifeboat, and then he was turned back by First Officer Charles Lightoller, who said, "You can't get in, Mr. Astor, because it's women and children only." And rather than try to get into another lifeboat, legend has it, the impeccably dressed John Jacob went up onto the starboard wing of the bridge, smoked a cigarette, and calmly waited for his fate. His body was recovered, and on his person was this watch, a 14-carat gold Walsham pocket watch, which was engraved JJA. It was taken off of his body. The timepiece, along with his massive estate, £55 million back then, £7 billion today, was given to his 20-year-old lad Vincent. It's not known what condition the watch was in at the time, but it has been restored. It's going on sale, and it's expected to fetch around £100,000 to £150,000. I think that's pretty cheap. I would have thought it would have gone for much more. There are a number of wonderful theories about the Titanic. One of them is that it was sunk deliberately to kill Astor and others because they were opposed to the creation of the Federal Reserve. That's one. Another one is that it was switched with its sister ship, the Olympic, because the Olympic crashed into a Navy ship, didn't it, in the Channel, and was damaged beyond repair, so it was switched for an insurance scam. I love all of those conspiracies. But that is the papers, or the best of the papers, for Friday, the 26th of April, 2024. I'm the BBG. Thank you for listening. The papers will return this coming Monday morning. It'll be online by 7:30 a.m., I should say. The Richie Allen Show, of course, will return on Monday at 4 o'clock UK time. It's all back to normal now. Spring, summer season. We're back in the flow until the middle or the end of August. I don't know which. All I can say to you now is have a great weekend. Have an absolutely tip-top weekend. By the way, the Melodies programme will return a week on Sunday. I'm pretty excited about this. A week on Sunday, the 5th of May. As I said, thanks for listening this week. Thanks for supporting the Richie Allen Show. I really appreciate your support. Until Monday, from the BBG, it's Slán Tomal, Slán go fóill.